Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the majority leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, Representative Joseph Shikarchi of Warwick. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and always happy to be here and see all of you.
The Pawsox Stadium proposal is moving ahead in the state Senate, but the House of Representatives remains a big question mark. House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello has been reluctant to support the ballpark plan. He says most of the people he talks with oppose public financing to help pay for the stadium. On the other side of the argument, supporters say Rhode Island would lose more than $2 million a year in tax revenue if the Pawsox leave, and that a new ballpark would spark economic development in Pawtucket. Majority Leader Shikarchi, are the supporters correct that this proposal would be good for Rhode Island?
Certainly would be good for Pawtucket, and I think a new ballpark and keeping the Pawsox would be good for Rhode Island. The question is there enough risk involved in terms of, is it worth the risk? Will the Pawsox be successful? Will the bonds be paid back? These are part of our deliberations that we will have when the Senate bill comes over, which I anticipate will come over sometime next week. And then we will send it to House Finance. It will have a honest, fair, and open debate on that. And we'll see what our hearings bring in the House.
What would it take to get this proposal through the House of Representatives?
I think it would take a lot of support from the general public to contact their members and to contact to be involved in the process. This hearing process will be before House Finance, which will be televised. They accept testimony by email, but I encourage anybody who feels strongly for or against the Pawsox to please attend these hearings that we're having and continue to have. We had some over the summer, not as many as the Senate, but we're going to have hearings in the House and very important hearings. If this is an issue that you feel passionately about, you need to get involved and have your voice heard.
I think you should start thinking about leadership. In other words, we've heard from the public, and I think the leaders have to step up. Unfortunately, the Democrats, in my opinion, are in a lose-lose situation because they allowed the Republicans to control the narrative and frame this as public money, taxes, rich guys, 38 studios. And there hasn't been a strong enough reevaluation on the part of the Democrats. And so they're in a lose-lose because if it goes through, there's going to be some electoral cost, and maybe to Speaker Mattiello. If it doesn't go through, there's going to be blowback, and my prediction is the Democrats are going to get blamed, because then the narrative will be you didn't show the proper leadership, and you didn't create the right deal, and you lost the Pawsox. So I think you're in a difficult position.
It's difficult. I'll respectfully disagree with you on a little point. There are many progressive members of the Democratic caucus who do not support this. So it's not just a Democrat-Republican issue.
Okay.
But also, everything you said, I agree with you in terms of framing of the argument in the public discourse about that. But shouldn't that burden not necessarily be borne by leadership, but by the actual Pawsox who want this proposal, who are looking for a public component from the city of Pawtucket in the state of Rhode Island? Don't they bear the burden of convincing the general public that this was a good deal or is a good deal?
The Pawsox, the onus is not on them. The onus is on the leadership. Sometimes leaders have to step out, take a risk. If it's a good deal, and I think most people think it is, they ought to support it and not blame it on the public.
Scott, we did see the majority of the people who turned out during a series of Senate hearings last fall were in favor of the deal. So what's your take on this?
I think the sad thing is, and I don't know how the majority leader is going to respond here. I know he's going to be loyal to his speaker, but we're kind of unfortunately held hostage to the views of some people in a Trump majority district that happens to be represented by the speaker that is nowhere near a mainstream Democratic district in this state. And that's a tough thing for a lot of progressive legislation, whether or not you think the ballpark's a good idea or not.
I would respectfully disagree with my good friend Scott McKay.
It's not a Trump district?
No.
It went 55-45 for Trump.
Scott, let me finish, please. With your analysis of that will be the determining factor whether the Pawsox proposal is passed or amended or changed. That is certainly a consideration. The speaker has said that. But the reality is we have a lot of members who are from non-Trump districts and moderate districts and even progressive districts who do not support this proposal in the House. So all of the districts, that when the speaker is speaking about the public, he's not talking just about his district. He's talking about the district in general. And quite frankly, south of Providence, there's a big indifference for the Poor Sox from a lot of representatives because they haven't heard from their constituents of any significant nature. So there's no groundswell of support and there's no groundswell of against it. And I think that the actual testimony in the final bill, the reality is that when that proposal comes over to the House, we're going to have hearings, and that proposal, the Poor Sox will pass or fail on the merits.
Well, let's talk about the other big issue facing the General Assembly this year. Rhode Island has a $260 million deficit between the current and next fiscal years. Majority Leader, I know you'll tell us this will go through the finance process, but what is the thinking right now on where the state can find the money to wipe out these deficits?
So let's talk about a couple of things. So first of all, there's a $60 million current budget deficit. It's caused by our revenues being slightly low expectations and higher increase in the workloads of some of the social services agencies, DCYF, Medicaid, and BUDA budget. The reality is
BUDA is behavioral, developmental health, that kind of thing.
Yes. And it's basically caseloads for social services. Those are projections. The reality is that we need to prioritize where our spending is going to be. We have a budget deficit. We need to solve that budget deficit. The governor has instituted a program of early retirement for retirement eligible people. It's an incentive for people who are already eligible to retire. I don't know what that program will bring, but I suggest and believe it'll bring significant savings. The governor will announce and reveal her budget next Tuesday, and then we can see where we are on that. As far as the structural deficit going forward, we have to, as a General Assembly, prioritize. I can tell you there's no appetite from the members of the Democratic House Caucus for any kind of broad base or significant tax increases. So the avenue to look at is where, if anywhere, can we find additional revenue? Is there a possibility that the Supreme Court will take action on online sports betting? Is that something that we'll look at? Is that going to bring us any kind of revenue? I don't know. I don't know if that answer will come in this fiscal year or not. And we need to look at where we're going to spend our money. And we may have to prioritize and cut and delay spending on some programs because I don't think from a Democratic perspective or even a political perspective or even a good government perspective, there's a lot strong support for a significant tax increase of any kind.
We're short on time here, but we want to touch on the issue of sexual harassment. Rhode Island lawmakers are going through their first ever training on how to avoid harassment. Maureen, how bad a problem do you think this has been at the State House, and how will this change now?
Just by from what I know for the years that I've been up there and anecdotal evidence, there's a clear evidence of men behaving really badly over the years. So I do think the idea that you put in place this session, that the House leadership did exactly what it should do, and Nicholas Mattiello and yourself, you set an example and you went, and I think that's a very good thing. However, one of the things you have to be careful of is going overboard and not making meaningful distinctions, because if we want to change the culture, men have to be part of the conversation. And sometimes some of these activities or accusations engender resentment. And if you don't get them to buy into a conversation, we're not going to change the culture.
Quick comment there, Majority Leader Shikarchi.
Could not agree more with what Maureen said.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Great to be here.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And Joseph Shikarchi, the Democratic Majority Leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives.
My pleasure, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.